Namaste and welcome back to another episode of The Sapient. Today we have another guest. So welcome, Jim.
Glad to be here.
How are you doing today?
I'm well, thanks. Getting a little chilly. I just settling into winter down out here in the East Coast. Rolling with it.
And you have a book on Amazon, right?
I do, yeah.
For Duty and Humanity.
Yes.
So what's that about and where did you like draw the inspiration for that?
Well, I've been a private investigator for most of my adult career, and I've done over 25 years I've been doing it, and the money's no good, the hours are ridiculous, but you really get some good stories along the way. And during COVID, I cobbled together some more interesting things I've done, and I put it around a narrative. And I shipped it around, and somebody's like, you might have something here. So I came up with a narrative to wrap all the stories around it. And, it seems to be doing okay, it's well received. And shamelessly self-promoting it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because you are in, let's say, an adventurous kind of industry that you work in, where it's like uncertainty most of the time, I think.
Yes.
What was your like first impression when you wanted to like start this book? Like, was that like, okay, here is a plot and this is what I'm going to do, or was it like, let me start writing and see what happens?
Yeah, well, over the years, I've put down some of the more crazier things I've done. I put pen to paper on it because I didn't want to forget it. I wanted to keep it in the moment. And after about 15, 20 stories came in, I was like, okay, how do I put this together so somebody could, put it together in a way that would fit in the narrative structure of a book. So I came up with a purely fictitious story, but I plopped in the actual things I've done are, excerpts in the book, and I just plopped them down as, focal points. And over the years you do I've done some weird stuff. Some funny, some not so funny, some hilarious, some heartbreaking. It's across the board.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's such a unique job, I would say. It's not even a job, I would say. It's just an experience.
Yes, I would put it that. Yeah, that's a fair way to do it.
Because, even in India, like private investigators are like differently viewed, let's say.
It's an interesting field. I stay away from most of the distasteful things like divorce cases and personal injury and following people around. I tend to lean towards most of my work is doing background checks and forensic investigations, pre-employment screening if you're going into business with somebody. But if the right people ask, I'll jump out and sit in my car and for the right price. But I still do that, but I try not to.
Yeah, because there is certain level of enigma around your job that people are like, and of course you must have like a million people that would ask you what was your best experience.
There's a lot. Mostly the best experience I get is finding, I find the truth out about people. And if people have a hunch about somebody, it's mostly women who have that sense that something's not right, and they reach out to me to confirm it. And it's not limited to women, but they have an extra sense that something's not right. But if somebody has this just doesn't sound right to me, and then they hire me and I prove it. Or sometimes I was like, oh, you were wrong on that. But most of the times, if I save people from being swindled, that's the most satisfaction I get, where, you know, yes, these people mm-hmm. are trying to scam you and stop it immediately. But sometimes they don't believe me and they go ahead mm-hmm. with it anyway, and there's nothing I can do about that.
Yeah, you know, it's the same story of like horse and the water, right? Like
you could
give them all the facts and still
that's happened to me. Several people who are getting scammed by these online romance things, and mm-hmm. you know, next thing you know, they're sending them like $20,000, and I'm begging them not to, but they go ahead and do it anyway because mm-hmm. he sent flowers and told me he loved me, and it's that, and there's nothing I could do about that, because if they're gonna, you know, it was madness.
Yeah,
a couple of times, you know, you have all the information, but they refuse to listen. I just have to walk away. Say good luck.
Yeah.
To you.
Yeah. That's kind of like sad and also like weird, I would say.
Yes.
Because, you know, you would say like, you know, I am giving you all the facts you need mm-hmm. to make these decisions, but yet you're sticking to your gut feeling like.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's like one of those, you know, like sacred Christians who don't believe in medical treatments.
Yeah.
They're like, you know, we're going to pray for it.
No blood transfusions for me, thanks. Yeah. You know, I've also done several adoption cases where I found somebody's birth parents, or, you know, it's mostly looking for their birth parents. And, mm-hmm. You know, I've done that with good success doing that, but I can lead you to the curtain. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Why, you know, what's going to be on the other side, what kind of person that is, you know. Sometimes it's good that they, you know, gave you up for adoption. These people are just mm-hmm. you know, they're wrecks, you know, they're train wrecks, so mm-hmm. you know, they knew it, and they handed you to somebody who would take you up and give you a good, you know, environment to grow mm-hmm. up in,
yeah,
know? And yeah, because sometimes, yeah, they thank you for that.
Yeah, you know, because I bet, you know, you like, you must be, you must have seen some real heartbreaking things, right? When you walk on a path, or let's say on a hunt that you don't know what might be happening, you know, on the other side. Yeah.
Well, there's a story. This actually happened. A man called me up. He reached out to hire me. He's like, I don't have much time left. I got a divorce about 30 years ago, and my wife poisoned my children against me. And I just want to, oh boy, you know, so I did find a daughter, and I reached mm-hmm. out to her. And I never give out any information without their consent. Mm-hmm. And she reached out to me, and then she's like, let me tell you about this guy. And then he was the one who was poisoning the, and she's like, and I never want to have anything to do with him. But she said, yeah, go ahead, give him my number. I want to tell him, you know. And mm-hmm. I okay, here you, you know, and they, and I never followed up on that, and because it's none of my business, I just mm-hmm. lead you to the door. But I was really curious to see how that went. But again, it's none of my business. So
yeah, you know, it's also interesting, Jim, that in your particular profession, ethics is like so confusing, right? Like, and it's also so hard sometimes. I would guess.
Yeah. Well, it can be, you know. But sometimes it's the information's right there. Sometimes you got to dig, you know, because some mm-hmm. people are good at hiding their past, you know. Mm-hmm. If you know you're hiring a contractor to do, you know, $500,000 worth of work on your house, you want to know what they're all about. And contractors are, you know, that's my specialty, because these guys are, some of these mm-hmm. guys are the worst of the worst. But some of them are on the up and up, but you just got to pick and choose, you know, you got to do your homework on that. And that's, mm-hmm. That's why they hire me, to do the homework.
Yeah.
You know, cause I know where to look.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And of course, because you have been doing it for so long.
Yeah.
That, you know, because
exactly.
Often I see like this on, and of course I'm not American by any chance. My audience knows it. I have never set a foot on, you know, American soil. But I'm very American in many ways. You know, I'm very lean towards mm-hmm. understanding people internationally. Mm-hmm. You know, and I see on YouTube that, you know, a few people are like privacy investigators or PIs. They are on hire for like $5, $10 per hour.
Oh boy.
And I'm like, that's less than what a person
Yeah,
would earn like in a McDonald's job.
I charge considerably more than that.
I mean, you should, because you are doing something that, first of all, not many people have the balls to do it. And second of all, the biggest is they do not have the knowledge or the courage to do it.
You get a feel for things, you get a feel for people. I spent many years as a bartender, so I know how to read people, and that's coming in. It's a big help. When you walk into a situation, you can read a room pretty well, and I've relied on that. And also, I've been in this several tricky situations, but I can also talk my way out of a lot of things. I can talk my way into a room, I can talk my way out of a room, and that's what I'd rather do.
I assume you must be like extremely skillful, right? Because like a lot of people would not even like be able to pull off, let's say, like 5% of what you're able to pull off in these situations.
I agree with that for the most part, but if you have it in you, it's just having an inquisitive nature about things, and asking, know what questions to ask, and how to read a person, how to deal with a different situations.
So, first of all, I don't want to like catch you off guard, but of course you might know OSINT, right?
I'm sorry, what?
OSINT, OSINT.
Oh yeah. Off the I've dealt with that before. It's something from it's a office. What is it?
I'll just let you know because I am dumber than you. I absolutely don't know shit.
Yeah.
It's like open source intelligence,
Oh, open source. Yeah, that's right. That's right. I'm sorry.
right?
Yeah, yeah.
I hope that's correct because that's what I remember it as.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I it's I'm not too familiar with that, but I just go to the different database, and I mean, what I do is open source intelligence, because I have numerous databases. People call it different things, but I know what you're talking about. Yeah, that's
Yeah, because now there is this huge rise in OSINT, and people are building this community of OSINT where like multiple people come and figure out a lot of things. And Jim, I was absolutely surprised because I am an active user in 4chan and Reddit and all these places because I just like danger. I just like to be the audience of it, and I see this, because of conflict that's going on in Israel and Palestine. I see a lot of people figuring a lot of shit out, just from just from few images or references, let's say.
My main I check records hard instead of I know what you're talking about. You go to these different rooms where opinions are, and information is freely brokered or just handed out. But I need to get like physical, actual concrete records. I do, if I'm doing a background check, you want to find out where, if they're, where their leanings, and if they're spewing out, ridiculous statements, that's when you go to that, and where they're one way or the other. You could be a great guy, and then you go to their, Facebook or Instagram page, and you just see some really ridiculous stuff. You got to question their decision-making skills, and whether, the fact that they, they threw it out there tells you a lot about the person too.
Yeah, because Jim, by profession, I'm a digital marketer. So I deal with social media and websites and everything. And I often like wonder like how fucking dumb people would be to post shit that they post. And whenever I ask them like why did you do this? And their prime answer would be like because it's not easy to find me on Instagram or Facebook. I'm like, dude, you're like half a Google search away.
And you see the time that they posted it, if they just got back from the bars and they're just in a stream of consciousness. That's, oh, it was at 2 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, because I used to take like this online safety classes here in India for free, just for especially for women, like how to protect themselves from, people tracking them and all these things on social
Sure.
media. Because like especially women are like notorious in uploading stories and giving, like quick locations. So, I always used to say if you're traveling alone, let's say, just live like you are, just live like you're living 24 hours away. For example, today you went to a bar, post about it tomorrow. And tomorrow if you go to a church, post about it day after tomorrow. It's, like smallest things that can, you can do to protect yourself.
Sure, sure.
And Jim, the interesting thing would be they'd ask me a question like, why should I do that? And I was like, because you are literally giving, typing in the location on Instagram that if you can just tap it and see where you are.
And if you announce you're leaving your house for 10 days, you're just leaving it open for it's, and I have a lot of people, they reach out to me, in the United States, you used to be able to run license plates with no problem. But they clamped down on that because people were getting murdered, and that's a good thing, Now it's, it started with the police. Oh, that girl's cute. I'm just going to run her plate, but now it's like I could run a plate, and people ask me to do it. I'm like, why? No, and you get guys, oh, I want to find, an old girlfriend of mine. I'm like, I try not to do that, but if I trust the person. But every time I've done that, it's normally an acquaintance. I just want to see how she's doing, and I get that. And they never reach out to her. They just end up crumpling it up and not going any further because then they realize this is kind of creepy,
It's almost like a stalker behavior.
Well, and I just want to know where they live. No, I'm not going to do that.
I mean, world's like very messed up place, I think.
I'm sorry, what?
World is a very messed up
Oh,
place.
yes. Especially now, it's instant communication, And if you want to, you can stalk their Facebook page or whatever. The younger generation is increasingly off of that, but it's a good, tracking tool, but if, for what I do, if the people they're looking to hire somebody, and you can post some goofy stuff, but if it shows you're saying, I this is how I think, it's just testament to your decision making skills. You shouldn't be putting it out. You can say it to somebody next to in a bar, but if you post it on Facebook, this Hitler guy was okay. Okay, all right. If you post that on Facebook, it's going to be frowned upon.
Jim, once I was in the hiring process of someone, and like I was just looking up the guy, like like what he is on Facebook and Instagram, and the guy was raising his right hand in a certain angle, if you understand what I mean.
I understand. I understand. Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I don't want you in my office. It's too
And
like dangerous for me.
they took a picture of it.
Yeah, and they like brag about it.
It's
And this idiot like had that on his wallpaper or like profile picture.
Jesus.
I was like, you are dumb, dude. Like
We're just gonna end this right here and,
yeah,
call it a day.
Yeah, that's all. Like, I don't want to dig down because I know if I even like look at like top five posts, I'll be in trouble because it was messed up. Yeah, but unfortunately, in India, like private investigators are not like that easily accessible.
Well, it's in the States, it's I'm the only one who I mean, I know some other guys who do what I do, but it's rare, and people always, I'm kind of a novelty because people are like, oh, can you do this? Can you do this? And, I'll do it, you know, for a friend. I'll do a, do a quick check for a friend or something, but and I'll do some work for somebody, get a job well done, and never hear from them again. Sometimes the people call me back up, and sometimes the person that hires me is insane too, you know, because they like the idea of having a private investigator working for them. And when you realize that that person, is there's times when I'm like, this is, doesn't sound right. So I give a very low price, an initially low price, so I can just walk away because it's just not worth it. And if I charge them too much, I'll feel, I'd feel guilty about it. And so I just give a low ball price, so you can just, okay, we're done here, I'm washing my hands of it, And you get to deal with a lot of paranoid people, My husband, my refrigerator's bugged, my house is bugged, And then you give them a price that scares them off, not scares them off, but a price that, okay, it's gonna be $3,000 to do this. It's like, well, I can't afford that. And okay, so there's not much I can do about that, you know.
Recently, I don't want to name out names, but one of my acquaintance, let's say, they found out their office was bugged, and they were like scared shitless because they were like, oh my God, I've spoken so many things that can get me canceled.
Sometimes it's better if you know the office is bugged, then you just go, you roll with it anyway and just, play into their hands, you know.
But they are scared now because the person who has bugged, has still not come forward with any blackmails or threats. So he they are okay, who the fuck is this?
We have a guy who does sweeps. I haven't talked to him in 10 years, but and he would do the test of the room. And there's devices you can buy for relatively cheap that do the same thing, but increasingly it's, everybody has a recorder on their phone anyway, so.
Jim, that's what I learned from OSINT because I just looked into it and I'm very interested in these things. I looked into this and I found out so much of fucking data is out there on a person. That a stalker could know more about a person than a person would know about themselves.
Unfortunately, that's the case, That's, you just got to be so guarded. I just assume you're always being recorded. That's,
Because are you aware of Threads, the new app from Meta? If you just look at the permissions that it takes, like from you to install, if a person even gave it thought about like 5 seconds, he would be scared. It apparently reads your heartbeat and it monitors your eye movement, and many other things along with that. And I'm like, yeah, just go ahead and take a picture of that person naked because
You got the facial recognition software, yeah, everything. It's,
And I'm like, yeah, what else is left of a human? I think in next like 20 years, people would be able to scan your soul and they could say, this is your soul.
Well, I have no soul anymore. I gave that up a long time ago, but but it's yeah, it's what people can get for you, get on you, and what you freely give out, you.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, it's totally free, right? Whatever information that they're getting, you're not even getting paid for that. And the most funny thing is, right now in Europe, in order to use Facebook, they had to pay for a monthly subscription. And I'm like, yeah, you're paying and giving your information away. That's it.
Oh,
That's
really?
it.
It's a monthly. Wow, I did not know that.
Yeah, it's like I think it's like 18 euros or something.
Okay, wow.
And I was like, yeah, you're paying and giving your information away.
And you're paying for it. Wow, that's a head scratcher.
and they're getting kickbacks from the internet companies.
I'm sorry, what?
And Meta is like getting kickbacks from internet companies.
Oh, sure. Yeah, they're selling your information.
Yeah. Left and right, because I work on Meta ads every day,
Yeah.
and it's like generally scary how specifically you can target one person. Like right now, Jim, I could run an ad to target you,
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I don't even know you, right? Like if I just know your locality and who are you,
yeah.
I can do that. And I'm not even like the best digital marketers in the world, because I've been working at this for like 6 years now. Imagine what a person with like 15 years and 20 people team could do.
Yeah.
And
Yeah,
all
it's
this
tough.
is for free. It's not
Yeah,
like
sure.
you had to pay money to even like come up with ads. You pay only when your ad runs.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And they know like how long you hover over something, you know? If I'm scrolling through and I stop on an ad, I see, something, even luggage or something like that. And next thing you know, I log on, it'll be all about the
Yeah, because the other day I was having conversation with one of my fellow colleagues, let's say, and I was talking about how people like how WhatsApp calls are there,
Yeah.
and whenever there is an international call, let's say I had to call you on your cell phone, I'll call you on WhatsApp because it's free.
Okay. Yeah.
And I would de deliberately talk about, let's say, pants, jeans, or any pants for 20 minutes with you. And the next thing I would instantly go to Facebook, and the first three ads would be of jeans, pants, or any pants. And I was talking to him. I was like, I definitely for sure know that they're transcribing your calls and picking up keywords. And he was like, no, it's because of local relativity, that blah blah blah, he was saying. And at this point, I'm like pretty much convinced that is what is happening, like transcription of calls. Which, if it is true, is way fucking scary. And I have had like four to five people do the same thing. Like they would call me and they would just talk about something, let's say one particular brand or one particular product. And they would see ads of the same thing on Facebook or Instagram. And I tell them, imagine like Meta is one of the mostly like law-abiding companies. It's not TikTok. Imagine what TikTok can do.
I stay away from, try and stay away from it, but sometimes I can't help it because the people I have to see if what they're doing, on behalf of my client. And and I hate logging into that. It's a necessary evil,
Yeah, Jim, you want to know something? Like in India, TikTok is banned. Like we cannot
that's
use
not a
it.
bad thing, yeah.
Because India and China are like frenemies. We are just like trading partners, but apart from that, like we hate each other. So back in like 2016, 17, when the COVID was early, like they banned like 108 apps, mobile apps of Chinese government.
It's an all full scale assault. It's terrifying how much, the data mining they do, and that's it.
Recently, there is this e-commerce brand from China that's in news, because they were stealing like fuckload of data from each mobile phones, and they were selling products at loss. And like multiple government agencies and private agencies have found out that they were using every data that they could pull out of your phone. They are pulling it out, and it's just like Chinese government doing it and again and again.
They did that in the States too. These certain on one end of the political spectrum, they started selling these freedom phones, and they're, it's you can say whatever you want on it, and there's, it's downloaded all these things. What they didn't tell them is that they're coming straight from China with so much tracking software, whatever they say, but they marketed it as the freedom phone, and they just and these people couldn't buy it fast enough. Okay, I don't know what to tell you.
Do you know the story of John McAfee?
McAfee, it's the software guy. The
McAfee guy, right?
Yeah,
the antivirus
malware
guy.
Okay, you still have it on my computer.
Yeah,
he lost touch with reality, didn't he?
I don't think so, because when he was raided and everything, he gifted laptops to government secretaries and officers.
Okay.
Which had like spyware.
Yeah.
He wanted to know like, why are these guys coming after me?
Yeah.
But he couldn't figure out something like concrete.
Didn't he go down to South America or something? He hid out down there for a while, didn't he?
Yes. He did run from United States.
Yeah.
And also his kind of last tweet was also kind of cryptic, let's say.
Yeah. Something's going on here. Yeah.
He said that if I die by suicide, I was whacked. Something in those lines. And he, irony is, he did die by suicide, legally at least.
Gotcha.
Because that's like similar with all nations, I think. Because if you look at like Putin, before he come to the power,
KGB, yeah.
Yeah, Putin was like, he's like real, like as it gets, right?
Yeah. He knows. He's a class A manipulator. He knows, he knows what's going on.
Yeah, and also he was on the front line also, right? Like it was not like he was an administrator or
sitting in an
office. He did dirty shit, and he admits to it. Like he doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah, he freely admits to it. Absolutely.
Yeah, and in a certain interview, he gave away his secret of how we used to eliminate people. Have you heard of this story?
I don't believe so, no.
So Putin used to, whenever he wanted to eliminate an political enemy or whoever it is, right, whose times were up, he would let's say poison their door handles and knobs, like simple things. So that even if they tested the trash and food and everywhere, they could not find the said chemical.
Oh, I'm sure.
So and even today, if you look at like Putin walk through a door, he will never open the door.
Yeah, I believe that.
He has someone else open the door.
I used to know a guy. He was with the CIA. He goes, if you ever wanted the KGB to follow you, go to like an aerospace show in Europe and take like 200 pictures of the Soviet. if they had any piece of equipment, you take 200 pictures of it and walk away. It's like it's guaranteed they would be following you for the rest of your stay.
Yes, definitely. And you'd feel more safe, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
You're constantly being monitored.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, one of our ex-prime ministers was also, assassinated in Russia.
Really?
Yeah, back in the day. Even though Russia was our friend, they had to get rid of this one person because if he was successful, he could have brought, multiple defense deals between Russia and India.
Okay.
So he was pushing arms and ammunition manufacturing in India with Russian technology. So Jim, I think by this point you know who got rid of him.
A doorknob guy.
Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's the kind of shady things that go on in the world. Recently, since Narendra Modi came to power, our own version of CIA is performing pretty good, I would say. They before this they were like toothless tigers, like, okay, what's he gonna do kind of question. Now they are I would say to their full capacity, searching and taking care of people. It's kind of weird sitting in this position right now as an Indian, because India never used to do these things, but yeah, recently it was required kind of thing that people did. Jim, like off topic, like the first time I heard of CIA was I think I was like 10, 11 years old, and I read about Operation Paperclip.
Operation Paperclip. That was.
Yeah, that was in World War II when they brought down the Nazis.
Oh, was that the where they stuffed the body with all the misinformation? That was the British. No, the.
No, not that. It was like the von Braun and other Nazi scientists were brought
Okay.
to United States, right?
Yeah.
For space program and defense programs.
Okay.
So, and preparation like Operation Paperclip was like my first exposure to
Yeah.
CIA and what intelligence can do.
Oh, that was the OSS and the MI6 were just brilliant. It's they completely they had them.
Yeah, they had them fooled, I think.
Oh yeah, the British were masters at that. They took a dead German's body and filled up
Yeah.
pockets with wrong information and
Wrong
just let it float
information.
away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just the campaign of misinformation was genius.
Wasn't there like a fake town or fake army base built with
Well,
Hollywood
yeah, they did that in
producers?
the preparation for D-Day. They got like thousands of inflatable tanks, and that German recon just gobbled it up, and they went down on it. It was brilliant stuff.
Right, like I think it was it I think that's kind of like biggest fuck you kind of thing, like what you're gonna do kind of misleading thing. It's
Exactly.
like a quarterback just running to the base or
Yep.
just scoring a touchdown. It was that kind of like audacity, kind of bold move, I would say. Jim, I've always felt like intelligence is very important. And certainly in today's world, intelligence is like everything.
Oh,
Because.
absolutely. It's just arming yourself with as much information as possible before you walk into the room. I've done a lot of work where, a client's like, I got a business meeting with about 10 people. I have no idea who they are. And then I would give them a write-up on each person just to get them a little more familiar. It's like, maybe we got something in common, and he would walk in and he'd, oh, yeah, well, we went to the same school, it's arming yourself with as much information as possible before
Because I almost feel like the next world war is going to be like information.
I could agree with that.
Because if you look at like Palestine and everything, the first thing that they like messed up with was internet. They are like, we are going to take this one thing from you. Yeah, because yeah, it's information and just information, because that's why even if you look at Indian government right now, there is a policy that says if you are let's say an American software or Chinese software, right, you need to have your servers in India.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
So the information cannot leave India.
Yeah.
And there is a privacy law that says if I wanted to know what Facebook has on me in terms of information, I could just request it and they had to give it to me from day one to till date.
Well, that's solid. That's not a bad thing.
And it's going to be like randomly audited. So if they are not found like compliant, it's instant ban.
Good.
And that's the biggest reason, Jim, that Tesla is having like hard time getting into India. Because
Oh,
they are
really?
like
Okay.
Yeah, because they are like our servers are in California and that's where we're going to keep information. And India is like, and the Indian government is
Oh,
like,
I
fuck
got
you,
you.
you cannot do that.
They have a point.
I think, Jim, that in future your job is going to be like more difficult.
It's increasingly becoming more. It could be, you know, a job could be being phased out altogether, but as long as there's the systems that I have access to that the general public doesn't have, I'll be all right. But you know, gotta, that's why I wrote a book.
Yeah, definitely. That's why
Get a
you wrote a
different
book.
revenue stream coming in.
Yeah. So, what's your opinion on like movies about private investigators?
Well,
Like, you know, like Knives Out and
they have to make them
Hunting Venice.
sexy. I mean, if they, I could sit in my underwear all day and do my job. Nobody wants to see that. That's disgusting. But you know, I mean, it's, you know, it's the hard nose trench coat, fedora hat, thing, and you know, you gotta make it sexy. You know, it's I just critique it on how they get their information. You know, they always have like a guy on the street or this supercomputer that you know can tackle anything. And you know, hey, sometimes you can get that information. Sometimes you get in like a lot of information from a bartender. You know, but it's more times than 10, it's you know on a database somewhere, and you know what you're looking for is. But for things like you know adoption cases, everybody does the you know that put 20 the DNA thing, sites put me out of business, but they still have people who you know who want to do that because there's you know there's a good population that doesn't trust the DNA thing, which I understand. But yeah, I love a good story, a good PI movie. It's fun, you know, because you know, you spend a lot of time sitting in a car. You spend a lot of time, you know, just trying to get information one way or the other, you know, and figuring something out. And it can be fun. It can be good. It can also be the most frustrating thing in the world.
So, how often do you think it's realistic that people like will stake out, you know, like wait for someone to exit their house or,
That
you know?
happens. I walk through my city and I can tell if somebody's on a stakeout. I could just see, hey, that guy's been sitting in that car for like he's a PI. He's waiting around for somebody. But it does happen. And the thing with that, one of the reasons I don't do that is because you charge a lot of money for something like that, and sometimes people don't leave their houses, or sometimes they just don't come home at all. And if you're outside the house for 8 hours and nothing happens, and you're getting paid one way or the other, and the client doesn't see it like that because they didn't get the information. This is how it works, you know? And if I do ever take a job like that, I tell them beforehand, I tell them first and foremost, like, look, if nothing comes up, and it's a good chance it doesn't, you know, don't get angry when I hand you the check, you know, hand you the bill. You know, and it's doing surveillance. Sometimes you're in a car, and you know, it's 0 degrees Celsius outside, and you know you're 2 o'clock in the morning in a bad neighborhood. It's like that happens, you know. And sometimes it could be 7 hours of utter boredom followed by 5 minutes of just mayhem. Because if they get in the car and take off, and you know you miss them, they go through a red light, then that's it, you know. I've done surveillance for you know 4 or 5 hours, and they finally get in, and you get stuck behind a school bus, you know, and that's it. Or you know they hop on a subway, and there's nothing there's you walk out of the street with thousands of people, you know, it's an inexact science. And that's why I choose to sit at my desk and you know look at things that you know find things out this way.
Do you also find yourself sometimes, you know, getting near to police work because of the nature of what you do?
Well, I started with I worked for the state of New Jersey at Casino Control Commission, and that's what got me into what I do now, because I was doing the people who are not allowed to come into the casinos, people who are blacklisted. And I started doing the, you know, the doing the background checks there, the due diligence searches there as to why. And then You know, a lot of these people are unsavory characters, and it's a private business, and they don't have to give you a reason why you're not allowed in there. But along the way, I was laid off from there due to budget cuts, and then I got into the private sector. And years later, they wanted to rehire me, and I turned it down, which, because I'm an idiot, because I probably would have been retired by now. But just I did what I did, and that's what got me here, so.
Got it. Just I'm just apologizing. Some idiot is just like blasting sky shots.
That's
So that's the constant like
so good.
booms that's coming through.
All right.
Yeah, so I mean it's interesting like how you just described your career path as you know I think simply as possible.
Yeah.
But do you find yourself, let's say you are working on a case, you know, that has also been, you know, given to another PI?
I've taken up cases where they said this, this guy said he couldn't find it out, or this guy, this and that. I've also worked alongside other PIs. I've never encountered the same guy working on a case as me, but sometimes it's, this guy couldn't do it for another reason, or this guy just flat out couldn't get it. And, I pride myself on, I'll figure it out or die trying, Some people just throw in the towel early, but I just keep on going until I come to the conclusion that, one way or the other, if either it's there or it's not,
Got it. Yeah, because I would assume, right, like sometimes you'd have to work with someone else.
Oh, yeah, it's,
Because.
you have to work in tandem with people. It's just sometimes it's, what we recommend for clients is to, if it's in the city, if you're doing surveillance, you're going to need at least four people. You need somebody in a car, you need somebody on the street, just in case they jump in a car, you got to follow them. You can't have somebody jump out of a car. And, it's, and you got to work in tandem with a lot of people. And I've worked for with some very good people, a lot of retired law enforcement are big in this field. And I work with a lot of these guys. I work with, lifelong, the guys who never worked in the, law enforcement like me. It just takes all, it's good to have people from different, looking at things differently. I look at things one way, this guy might look at things another way, and you got to put your heads together and figure it out. I worked for some retired detectives at my old company before I started my own company, and these guys were no nonsense. And me, I let people talk because, just my experience, more people talk, the more they're going to, let some information loose. But a retired cop, a detective, you just tell them to shut the hell up and give us the information, which was an equally effective way.
Yeah.
Very no nonsense.
Because I don't know whether this is true or not. I heard once that there was this you know divorce case that was going on, and both the partners in that particular scenario hired a PI. And there was this moment where, you know, the both PIs were like, are you also working on the same thing that I'm working on?
Oh, really? Oh, okay. I see that might happen, if the both spouses are, going through a divorce, they might hire one for each, they might hire from the same from the same company.
Yeah, because you know there is this famous meme of, you know, three Spider-Mans pointing at each other.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it was, I think it would be like very similar situation where they're like, oh, you too here, you
Hey, what's going on? Yep. I'm sure that happens more often than not.
Yeah, because and also it would be like very interesting to see how it unfolds. Because if they both like got together, because you're an author, I'm just imagining this. If they both got together, do you think it would get easy or worse for their jobs?
That's a good question. I think it could go either way. Because if you see things from different angles, you might reach different conclusions and get two entirely different reports. But that's a tricky situation. And just your mindset from the get-go. If you're out to prove something, you're going to lean towards information that's going to prove that. It, or if you come up the information where I'm coming in blind, I have no idea what conclusions to draw. You're going to come up with drastically different conclusions, because if you come out with a mindset that, this is that, instead of, and both are valid, but it can lead to wildly different, base reports,
Yeah. Do you think it could also like make each other's job very hard because there are two professionals working at the same thing?
Well, maybe, yeah. It depends. Like, I've worked with guys, it's like, oh, well, look at this. She's wearing a short skirt. She's obviously cheating on her. I know she's out to hot to trot. And you're like, she's just wearing a skirt, dude. But if you come to that, you're gonna butt heads, and it's not a healthy environment. Or he could be right too, but it's just based on one thing, you can't really, and it's sometimes you just sit down and okay, you were right on this one, I was wrong on this one,
Yeah, because I would assume like those kind of calls would just depend on like probability.
A whole lot of word of mouth I get,
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about this book of yours because
Okay.
that's what we're here to talk about.
Yep. For duty and humanity, yep.
Yeah, for duty and humanity.
Yep. It's
Why
oh
that
my God.
title?
Well, for duty and humanity, it's an old Three Stooges. I don't know if you're familiar with the Three Stooges. They're a big American comedy team from the 30s. And they did like these 15-minute shorts, and they did one where it was for duty and humanity, which means we're gonna do our best to help, but we're gonna mess this thing up by, we're gonna gum up the works to nobody's business. And it they always meant well, but they were just they couldn't get out of each other's way. I just thought it was an amusing title because the way I portray myself in this, it's loosely based on me. The way I portray myself is, I have the best of intentions, but sometimes I don't think things through, and it doesn't meet with desired results a lot of the time. At the end of the day, everything, my intentions are true, and I by one way or the other, the job gets done. And to the customer's satisfaction. Along the way, I make some boneheaded mistakes, but I atone for that, and it comes to a nice conclusion. And no, I mean, people seem to enjoy it. And the stories, I came up with a narrative of where I'm mentoring a younger kid, and who just I just hired part time, and along the way, it's a story here, a story here, a story here, which is the stuff that I most of it I did. And yeah, it's a, what is it? Life happens. Life happens while you're making plans, and if you just walk out the door and see what's going to happen day by day. And
So,
then
do you have plans for like next edition or next part of this
I've been
book?
working on it. It's a it, going to be a different, well, yeah, it's still going to be loosely based on the things that I did, but I still have a lot of stories I need to pop in there. But after this book came out, I got a little lazy because it takes a lot out of you, you know, 350 pages of trying to make it coherent and, you know, and then throwing it out there, you know, because I was staring at it and it's like, I'll never know if this thing's going to be anything or not unless I do it, you know? And, you know, there's a lot of trepidation, but at the end of the day, I, you know, I'll never know if I don't do it. So.
Is it fair to say that you would not suffer from like writer's block or writer paralysis because you have existing material to support what you're writing?
But it's, you know, it's a lot of, you know, where are you going to take it? You know, where, you know, you come up across some roadblocks that you have to, and sometimes you just have to put it down for a week or two and come back and, you know, let's look at this from a different angle. Let's, you know, but, yeah, I mean, it's a process, that's for sure. And then going through the editing process, which unfortunately there's an old edit on Amazon right now that I'm still working on getting corrected. The publisher put out the wrong edition. And it's still the same book, but it's, you know, they didn't clean it up like they said, but it is what it is. If you go to like Barnes and Noble or something, you'll get the new version or, well, Walmart. But yeah, I, you know, and you got a lot of people along the way, they, you know, they paint a very bright picture for you and then, you know, nothing happens, you know? So you got to do a lot on your own if you want to see any, if you want to get any results. I've
Yes,
done, you know, they do a lot of podcasts, which I really enjoy doing. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I feel like it's very important for any person who does any creative work to
Yeah.
get on podcasts because
It's a great like medium. I mean, you know, instead of the 5 minute, you know, radio clips or something, you know, you could really go in depth. It's very, it's fun.
And here is a question that I ask every author that comes on my show. How many edits did you do on the on this book?
Well, I did it the first. I hand it to my wife first and foremost, and she's the one who, you know, she's the grammarian, and you know, I put it through her, and then I redo it, and then I hand it to the publisher, and he redoes it, and then I send it back, give it back to my wife, and it went back and forth, but and you know, until I'm when I'm satisfied with it, I'm satisfied with it, and no, then I handed the publisher, and they were supposed, you know, they do their thing, but yeah, there was a misinformation. It yeah, there was a miscommunication as to which edit goes out, and you know, unfortunately, you know, a mistake was made. And this is another, it's the learning curve, you know, this is, you know, how it goes
So,
along, you know.
so would you say like six edits?
I think four or five, yeah, about five edits.
Yeah, Jim, that's rookie numbers. Come on.
Yeah.
I have had authors who have made like 16 to 20
Oh,
edits.
I bet. Well, that's, I mean, this is a first timer. I'm sure this next, the my next offering is will have at least 15, 16, because I'm gonna go through with a fine tooth comb. Because I, you know, I get lazy myself after going over it again and again and again and again. You just, you know, you just get lazy about it, or you just, you know. But it's good to, you know, hand it to fresh, you know, a pair of fresh eyes, you know.
I you know like I see authors like they're very critical of themselves when they write a book and especially in terms of grammar
Oh yeah.
and I'm like who the fuck gives a shit about grammar
Yeah,
you know
yeah,
apart from your English teacher maybe
yeah, yeah.
nobody cares if the story is good. I had a great author on. She's like a fictional writer, and she said, like I missed one D in the book, and she was frustrated because she was like, I just want to correct that one. But she already had made like 20 plus edits, So
Yeah.
she was like, yeah, whatever it is, you know.
That's what my publisher was saying. I was like, look, I don't, he goes, Jim, let me tell you about a little book, 50 Shades of Grey. He goes, you ever read that? I'm like, no, I never read it. He's like, this thing is such a piece. And he just went off, and I'm like, the grammar, but a 10 million housewives ended up buying it. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
If I could only have that problem. But yeah, it was,
Yeah.
just the editing is, it could be mind-numbing.
Yeah, because I was listening to this a podcast where they were talking about a book that it's called as The Art of Not Giving a Fuck.
Okay, I heard of that, yeah.
And they had to for certain markets they had to censor the word fuck,
Yeah.
and they had repeated it like I think like 300 or 400 times,
Wow.
and they had to insert like asterisk instead of the bad word. And the publisher said, there was a stage where when I thought really like, who the fuck's gonna notice? Even if I just left a couple of it, like who would really notice this? Yeah.
Yep, that's this is the truth, Mostly, it's just such a, it was such uncharted territory for me about, the editing, the back and forth and back and forth. But it's a learning curve, and I'll know what to do and what not to do next time,
And what's your writing process like? Is there a set of things that you do before writing, or you just like start writing?
Sometimes something will just pop in my head, and I'll be like, I gotta put this down because I'm gonna forget it. Sometimes, I'll do like 15, 20 pages in a day, and then I won't do anything for 2 weeks. I'd be satisfied with that, and then I go back and look at it and delete everything. And there's no front. And as far as I'm concerned, for what I do, it's if I could, when I put out my book, it was during COVID, and it was just basically we were just locked down. And I just said, okay, I found myself with a lot of nothing to do, and I said, let me just crank this out now. So the next worldwide pandemic would be a good, good time for me to start another book,
It's good. It's going to be a good time. And yes. I always wonder, right? Like, did you talk to other authors or other writers before starting your own, or you were just like, fuck it, and I'm going to do it on my own?
Well, I started, there's some writing groups here in Jersey City, and I sat down with them a couple of times, and I've quickly found out that it's just a room full of people just patting each other on the back as to how great it was to be a writer. And I it just found it very distasteful. And then I got in some other groups where, there's 50 to 100 people, and they're like, well, here's how it works. We buy your book and give you great reviews, and then when my book comes out, my book, and I'm like, that's so hollow. And even though I'd love to sell 100 books every week, I need to, I want it to be honest, I want to, it, yeah, it, and I, it's just some writers are very self-important, and they're just very full of themselves, and I'm just not like that. And this one writer's group, they're like, well, bring something, and I understand to critique some writing, but if I'm not, I don't write poetry, I don't write, sometimes I'll write a short story here and there, but I just found it very self-serving and distasteful. I just didn't like it. I'd rather have somebody who, a friend of mine or acquaintance who just happened to read my book, I'd love to sit down and talk with them. If they say it was a hot garbage, then that's fine by me, as long as you bought the book.
Yes, definitely.
If they say it's great, then that's fine too. I'd like honest, feedback.
Yeah, I would say, Jim, welcome to the creative world. It's like there are 10 good people and like 100 others to shit on the those 10 people. That's like consistent with every other creative field.
No, yeah. I got one professional review, and he basically tore it apart. But he didn't say it was. And at the end, he goes, "Is it? Did the book suck?" He said, "No, it wasn't. It didn't suck at all." And that's the only sentence that I went with. I'm like, okay, I can live with that. You know, that's what I put in the book fair. Read the novel that one critic said didn't suck. You know.
I think I don't remember the name of the author. And for his like newest book release, you know what he did? He just put all of his negative reviews as the preface of the book. And you were like, fuck you, like take this. And they asked him, like, why did you do that? And he was like, I just wanted to let these, criticers or whoever these people are, to let them know that your bad review doesn't affect me.
I don't care. That's I guess that's your job to, say it's, that sometimes there's a bias already before you even open it up,
Because even for my podcast, like I have people who critique me, and I'm like, yeah, dude, like you do you, I do me, like I don't give a shit.
That's fine. We're cut
This
from
is
two
my
different
process,
cloths,
and and also it's like two different processes, you cannot compare it.
How long you been doing this for?
I've been podcasting for a long, long time, I would
You're pretty
say.
polished. I've done some podcasts where they're just starting out, which is fine. But you seem pretty polished, and it makes it easier.
My friends tell me that if you had to existing in ancient times, the only job you'd get is a storyteller. But I've been doing it for a long time and I just enjoy it, so I'm like, whatever it
This
is.
is rock and roll, man. That's great.
The biggest thing I would say is, like I don't have any monetary benefits from this, so I don't give a shit whether someone listens to this or not. Or thankfully I have good audience,
That's great.
and I have heard like fortunate of I've been fortunate of ha having good guests on.
That's very important, yeah.
For me it's that, Jim, like I don't give a shit you have 0 followers or 100 million followers on Instagram or Facebook or whatever. I just need you to be like genuine and just open,
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I get you. I get you.
Because I always tell this to even new podcasters that you see, like for example, you look at a movie, right? If the dialogues were weak, you could watch the movie, you won't notice it because you have visuals, you have VFX, you have graphics, you have music, right? But with audio form like podcast, it's just me and you talking.
Yeah,
And if you
exactly.
get distracted, a listener can smell that from like 100 miles away. Okay, this guy's distracted now.
Exactly.
And that's why I stay away from scripting it or,
That's good.
asking questions before even the podcast has started, because I'm like, it doesn't serve any purpose. It makes your life and my life more miserable.
Exactly.
Because Jim, because then you'd know me, right? And you'd have to pretend to not know me for one hour. I'm like, that's fucking boring. Like, I don't want to do that.
I hear you. I hear
So yeah, I to be honest, I have not yet read the book because I do not have the patience. I just go audiobooks.
Sure. Yeah, that working on getting this an audio book. That's another road I haven't traveled down, but I'll figure that out.
So that was going to be my qu next question. Like, are you planning on audiobooks?
I have some feelers out about this, and I get distracted. I'll just put it down, not and I'll follow up like every once in a while, but it's not, a huge priority right now, but it will be shortly.
Got it. So I definitely look forward to the audiobook because first of all, I don't have
And
the
I will
patience.
notify you as soon as that happens.
That would be awesome because I am, kind of interested in reading it, But I know I absolutely lack the patience and dedication to read a book
I
at this
appreciate
point.
that. I appreciate your honesty on that. I get it. 100%. Yeah, the audiobook, yeah, I'm going to give that a shot, definitely. I'd have to, yeah.
Because and I also have this one bad habit of like feeding the book to ChatGPT and just asking you what the fuck it is. And that is something that I need to work on, like to get rid of it. Because that's just lazy, I would admit. It does not make any sense. So I hope audiobook comes out soon. So that even my listeners have something to listen to other than just my voice, I would say.
So it's, it's after Amazon if you like bad grammar, but other Walmart and Barnes and Noble that it's readily available to edit on satisfied with. But yeah, the audiobook is definitely the way to go, and I need to be reminded of that.
With that, Jim, thank you very much for being on the show.
My pleasure.
I hope it was fun for you too.
It certainly was. I appreciate you taking the time.
And also, if you would like to come back whenever your next book gets out
Absolutely.
or your audiobook comes out, just let us know.
I
We will be
absolutely
more than
will.
happy to have you on the show.
I absolutely. I certainly will. I'll follow up.
Jim, thank you very much.
Yeah,
And
cheers,
to my
man.
audience, guys, this is the end of the episode. So if you have made it this far, thank you very much. Take care and stay out of the war.